So, Dominic, when you hear the words footwork, what does that mean to you? In your terms, how do you define that?
Footwork for me is, it sounds cheesy, but it's an expression of like each person's own fighting style. Because I go kind of deep into it when I think about what forward means to me and everybody else. For me, it's just an expression of how I fight. Because every step that you take to hurting somebody, to trying to be, to win a fight, the first step taken has to be with your foot. Has to be a movement with your steps, where you move your feet. It has nothing to do with what your arms do, your hands, your head, nothing. It's all about where your feet go. Sets you up for punches, kicks, everything else. So it really is a basis for every single person who fights. It's the basis for their style.
Okay, so you sort of answered my question, but for folks who may not get it, quickly if you can, just very give us a basic example of why footwork, in your estimation, is so critical. Why is it such a critical component for success at high level MMA?
Footwork's so important because of it's the when you look at fighting in steps, it's hard to break down for the general public because you have to have a like a grid vision for fighting almost. And the way I look at things in fighting is I break it down into chunks. it starts with your feet, and then it goes to, then it goes to your hips. Once you use your feet, you go to your the power goes to your hips. Then it goes from your hips. It goes up to your shoulders and your arms and stuff. So the bottom line is, in order for you to be able to do anything in a fight, you have to move your feet. It's everything. It's your mode of transportation. It's like having a car to go to work every day. And if you don't practice moving your feet the same way you do the rest of your body, it doesn't coincide together well.
How long did it take you to get to where you are in terms of the proficiency of your footwork?
Taken my entire career. If I go back to my first couple fights out here in California when I first met my coach, Eric Del Fiero, my footwork was there, but it wasn't, I hadn't been practicing it and I hadn't focused on it yet. I didn't have the understanding yet of what footwork could do for me until later on in my career. That's when I figured it out. And when I started focusing on it solely and made it its own separate entity of training, that's when it really started to improve and make a difference in my fight
Was there an
game.
aha moment? Was there one moment where you were like, "Oh my God, this is what I need to be doing differently"?
Yeah, the first time I learned to pivot out. So it's like, ooh, I was hitting pads, and the first time I was able to throw punches, pivot out to a certain way. Like with my footwork, it might look like I'm just hopping around doing all kinds of stuff, but they're actually like 6 to 10 different patterns that I follow over and over that create a style and create a movement and set up punches in certain areas depending on who I'm fighting. So depending on who I'm fighting, I can switch every pattern that I make with my feet and always keep people offset. So my aha moment was the first time I learned how to hit a pivot out. And that was the first real footwork that I moved, that I learned technically, besides jumping rope.
So, okay, the first aha moment was pivoting. Can you talk me through, you don't have to give away your game, but can you talk me through the progression of your footwork? So once you mastered pivoting, what were the next steps you took that really elevated your footwork?
What I figured out with footwork that's so difficult for people to understand is in order for footwork to be effective, you have to know what the other person's coming with next. So in order for footwork to even have a part to play, you have to know your opponent's next step. That way you can move your feet in the right direction, in the right place to set them up for whatever you want to set them up for. So I guess the answer is that I started really picking it up. I mean, what was the actual question right there?
Like, once you mastered pivoting or realized the value of pivoting and really began to incorporate that in your striking, what was the next thing you added to
Speed.
your footwork to then make it even more about what it is
Oh,
today?
okay, yeah. Speed and plyometrics. Once I started learning the main gist of like what I wanted to do, where I wanted to do it, and how fast I wanted to do it, I started working on how to make it faster. And the way to make any kind of footwork faster is with plyometrics, jumping rope, and tons of drilling. So once I learned a foot movement, a foot pattern that I wanted to set up, I would build it in my own head on my own time, in between or after or before practices. And I would study that exact pattern, and I would do it 50 to 100 times or for a 3-minute round. And I would do it consecutively over and over and over as fast as I possibly could. I mean, that's really the only way I was able to pick up any kind of footwork and really have any kind of like taking it to the next level besides just knowing a pattern and trying it.
Are there athletes that from the history of combat sports, any discipline really, that you've borrowed from, maybe a piece here or a piece there?
Oh, definitely. Running backs in football and DB, defensive backs in football also. Running backs, because when they run up to a line, a football defensive and offensive line work off of a plane in the middle of the field, basically a giant wall that's there. And that wall is what they both push up against, when really it's an imaginary wall if the rules don't make it that. That wall wouldn't even be there if the linemen were allowed to step aside and throw the defensive lineman over the top of them by cutting the corner. But that wall is there because those guys don't want to allow 1 centimeter advance up the field. So with that wall there, now the football game for defensive backs, wide receivers, everybody around the offensive and defensive line, and now becomes a game of parallels. Like, you've got to run with this wall. And so that being said, they have to running backs, DBs have to learn how to use their feet moving parallel back and forth, back and forth across the line super fast. That's not a natural movement. Natural movement is forward and back, just like in a fight. If you look at a fight, everybody in fighting moves their left foot forward, the right foot forward, the right foot back, their left foot back. So what I'm trying to say is everybody moves forward and back. Nobody moves side to side in a fight. In football, everybody moves side to side, and everybody at the line moves forward. But once they hit that line, it now becomes a parallel game. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure, of course. It's a non-natural motion they have to master.
It's a non-natural motion. But if you watch those guys, and if you watch them in a combine, those are all the characteristics that make the best wide receivers and the best defensive line, or the best running backs in the world, is how fast and how good they get out of they can go into a sprint from an unnatural movement.
So what about in the combat sports world? Is there anybody, a boxer, a wrestler? I mean, it's different kinds of footwork, but is there anybody else you look to and you're like, well, that guy has tremendous footwork?
Guys in fighting now?
In any combat sport right now.
You know, a lot of guys have footwork, but I really think that it's something that has been kind of forgotten. It's kind of a forgotten thing. I think it's kind of, you know, you got guys that use it, but the people that use it more than anything is boxers. So I watch a lot of boxing, too, for that reason. But, the biggest person that probably has influenced me the most in the type of footwork that I use would have to be Muhammad Ali and a guy named Willie Pep. I looked him up a while back when I was younger, and I started watching his tapes. And they're old school, they're black and white. But one thing that really stuck out to me about Willie Pep that is huge for mixed martial arts is I didn't look for somebody who moved their feet. I looked for somebody who moved their feet right for the sport of mixed martial arts in boxing. So you can look at a lot of fighters in mixed martial arts today. A lot of them were NCAA wrestlers. They could have even been 4-time All-Americans, 4-time national champions, and they come over to fighting and they just can't adjust to the sport. Well, that's because their wrestling didn't adjust well to the sport of mixed martial arts. You have to do the same thing with footwork and boxing. You have to look at whose footwork matches and works well with fighting in mixed martial arts. And the reason I say that is because you don't want to sit still in mixed martial arts. You'll get taken down. You have to be able to switch your feet because you have to be able to hit odd angles because people are coming at you from every position that's never been never been studied ever because it's a generally new sport. So really there's no wrong move in mixed martial arts because everything's still being invented. Everything's still new. So Willie Pep, if you look at his old tapes, would steer people into his power. He would steer people into his footwork. He would steer people into his punches. And that's an even another level for a footwork that you can take it to when you get as good as that, is when you're not just moving your feet, you're not just following the patterns that you've drilled for years and years and years, but now you're steering people into the punches that you're throwing at the same time as you're, they think that they're running from you, or they think that you're cutting them off. They think, like your opponents think that you're getting cut off by them, when actually you're moving them into the punch that you want to throw. That's when footwork gets to that next level.
So you mentioned, let's actually take a step back. How would you grade the overall level of footwork in MMA today?
You know, that's a rough thing to ask me because, like, there is no grade for anything right now. It's such a new thing that you would have to grade, you know, like, everything. And just grading footwork, it almost seems insignificant because there's not even been a grade made for me, so how would I know?
But when you see the footwork, for example, I would say that the wrestling in mixed martial arts, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good, all things considered, at the professional level. Jiu-jitsu is, all things considered, not perfect, but not bad. Striking is coming along. But I just don't know that I see a lot of guys who have a heavy emphasis on footwork. It doesn't seem as ubiquitous. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, it's all about the, I think that footwork is all about a perception. That's why it hasn't been attacked a lot. But really, it's common sense to a guy like me, because like I said, when I'm standing across the cage from another person, before I throw one punch, what's the first thing I'm going to throw? The first thing I'm going to move, excuse me.
Your feet.
My feet.
Yeah.
My feet. So if the very first thing I'm going to move in a fight is my feet, why isn't that the very first thing that I work on? So if you look at it that way, mixed martial arts hasn't even touched footwork as an art yet, besides a few guys. And I think it would be all the lower weight class guys, everybody from 155 and down. Once you get heavier and heavier and heavier, the footwork gets more and more watered down, more and more basic. But then, as that happens, you see the power scale go up. That's the different thing that makes, that's what makes footwork so arguable, I think. A lot of people, you know, something I hear more than anything is, well, you're not knocking anybody out, Dominic, because you're not setting your feet. Well, I'm also not getting hit at all. And the whole point of winning a fight is to not get touched, not get hit, and hit the other person. So I'm hitting the person twice as much as they're hitting me. I'm not getting hit. I might not have knocked a lot of people out, but I'm winning fights and I'm not taking damage. And in my book, that's what a fight's about. The knockout comes later when you learn to sit on your feet. You look at guys like Jeremy Stephens, Travis Brown. Certain guys have this, like, God-given gift of power. But if you look at all of them, their footwork is their feet and their legs are set so stationary, so wide, so heavy on the ground that they're able to throw everything they have from their feet all the way through. You look at a guy like me, I'm always moving my feet to punch you and not be there by the time you try to punch me back. That takes away a little bit of power. So it's an art, and it takes a fine, real gentle, like, working into it to find the happy medium of power, footwork, movement, and being stationary all together.
So with somebody, let's go over some cases. Like Hector Lombard, very flat-footed but extremely explosive. Would you characterize him as like a Jeremy Stephens type? It seems to work for him for the most part. He's now an elite welterweight. He might even get a title shot. We'll see how things go. But would you say he has bad footwork, or he has footwork that caters to his natural athletic gifts?
That's what it is right there. I think that everybody chooses the footwork that works for their body and their strengths and their power. So like it's the same thing as when somebody decides that they're going to be a southpaw or conventional stance striker. When you first walk into the gym, you don't know. You just kind of go with what feels right. That's what fighters do with their footwork, I feel like. But I do think that if they thought about it a lot harder and a lot more, it could improve and make their game better. But again, that's 100% preference. And who am I? You know, look how many people have won tons of fights with never even thinking about footwork ever. This is merely just a conversation to discuss the matters of the progression of the sport of MMA too, though. And I think that that does come with footwork in the future.
So let's talk about two guys that are like diametrically opposed, right? You've got, or at least it seems to me from the layman's eyes, but both are considered to have really good footwork. One would be Frankie Edgar, and the other would be Lyoto Machida. Is MMA one of those things where, you know, boxing footwork, those guys all have different footwork too, but it's a narrower universe. In MMA, it seems like with someone like Machida, who I know he uses angles, but he uses a lot of blitzing, whereas Edgar's in much more constant motion. How would you compare and contrast their two styles, and what does that say about the state of MMA footwork?
Okay, well, first I'll break down their styles, and I'll break down exactly why it looks the way that it looks. With Machida, it looks like he's blitzing, but actually he's doing that next step of footwork that I was explaining to you earlier. He's steering people into his punches. I've watched tons and tons of Machida tape covering him as an analyst on Fox, and I've actually stole tons of angles from him because his angles from karate are complete opposite of any angle you see in boxing, kickboxing, or anything else. Stuff that would be off-limits is not off-limits in karate. So he hits weird angles that nobody's seen before, and he's able to do that because he's able to switch his stance. Machida literally circles towards the power side of fighters to switch to a southpaw stance in the middle of the movement and blitz forward with a straight left hand and a straight right hand. That's completely unfundamental. And he's able to do that because he's able to steer people where he wants them to set up the power. So now he's hitting you twice as hard because he's getting you to set your feet where there's no movement to counter. And there's also nowhere for you to go in order to dodge the punch because all your weight is on that leg that he moved you on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So that's what Machida does. He has that steering footwork style. He's got great footwork, great movement, great speed. But more than anything, he understands range. And when you understand range as good as Machida, now you can steer people where you want because they can't come inside. So you're already keeping them at the perfect range that you like. Once you do that, you're dictating the fight. Now you can move them where you want to set up the punches, kicks, knees from the range that you like, which you've done already. So the first step with Machida is to beat his range and dismantle it, and shut it down. Because otherwise, he's just going to pick you apart the entire night. And you can't take him down. Now, Frankie Edgar has a different style. His style is more similar to what I do, and that's why it looks so much more movie. But he's also a lot smaller and a lot lighter. He looks a lot more agile, nonstop movement because Frankie's always fainting. And Frankie's always fainting because that takes away power from flat-footed people. There's a lot of flat-footed, powerful people in the 145-pound division. And if you don't faint and keep people biting, then they're going to knock you out. Frankie understands that if I go in, out, in, out, in, out, in, out, and sometimes I throw on that in, out, and sometimes I don't throw when I move in and out, now the fighter doesn't know whether they want to counter me or wait for me to punch. When you do that, you put guesses in their head, and now Frankie's able to move all around wherever he wants, however he wants, countering, being offensive, but he'll only work offensively if the feints are keeping you from throwing your offense. Now, if he feints and gets you to throw, now he sees what you're going to throw at him. Now he's able to counter you or take you down. So everything comes off of feints. If you don't bite on his feints and you think that he's full of it and he's not really actually going to throw every time and you just stand there, then he's going to up his offense on you and beat you on points by throwing a crazy amount of offense. If you do counter and you decide to throw on him, he's going to counter you and take you down. Or he's going to see what you throw, stay away from danger, and come up with new offense according to how you're adjusting to him. That's what feints do. That's what footwork does for Frankie.
So what does that say about footwork? How much of footwork is tailored towards offense, which is what it sounds like? How much of it is tailored towards defense, escaping bad positions, managing distance at all times? Like, is there a split between the two, or is it just one seamless thing?
Well, for me, it also depends on how you do it. I like to make it seamlessly the same thing. I like to make my defense and my offense mix and look the same. When I enter, with my footwork, I'm also entering on a weak side so that I'm not taking damage when I decide to be offensive. And I'm also taking my head off the center line to do the same. A lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys just move their feet and they come in and they're throwing or they're not. I like to throw from a strategic position to minimize the amount of attacks that the defensive guy has against me being offensive.
Is there a limit to getting good at footwork? Is there a certain point where you can only do so much of it before it has a maximum like saturation effect? Like it's only so effective in a fight? Or could it just be as effective as much as you can build on it?
I think it's as effective as you can build on it. I mean, that's like putting a limit on it. You can't put a limit on anything, really. I don't think. I mean, you just gotta work with it until you see where it's benefiting you. Footwork, I mean, it's not a must, but this is one of those things that I truly believe that the evolution of the sport will involve better footwork. It's like how I chose to work on my footwork was this easy. I looked down the line of everybody's style and everybody in the world and what they were doing, and I had to find a way that I could make things different, because you're looking at everybody's style and they're all doing the same stuff, working on the same things. What's going to make me win if they're already prepared for everything that everybody's doing to them? So I wanted to bring a different dynamic, a different look, a different thought process, and a different style into the sport. And that started with footwork, it started with angles, and it started with defensive thinking. I think that when mixed martial arts continues to grow, that's going to be the way of thinking, because you're only wearing 4-ounce clothes and no shin guards. So the goal is to not be touched when you're wearing that little of equipment. In boxing, at least you get a 6-ounce glove? That's another 2 ounces or something.
I think it's 8.
8-ounce glove. That's another 4 ounces. That's twice the amount of leather you get on your hands. So why would I ever, ever try to copy a style like boxing or Muay Thai where they don't even wear the same gloves we wear? You don't want to be hit. And the only way to not be hit is to move your feet and your head.
Was there ever a moment when you were building your own particular style where you were using something in footwork and you later realized that was an error? Where you had to say, I've been trying this, it doesn't work. Has that ever happened for you?
Of course there's failures. You know, you try things and things fail, but there's really not a lot of things that don't work. There's things that just fail. And the bad thing about failing when you're in practice and in a fight is you get knocked out, you know? So that's the only way to learn. Unfortunately, there's no easy way to learn in the sport. And the only way is, you know, taking damage and understanding, I took too much damage doing that. I'm not going to do it again.
And then just a couple more questions to let you go. Really appreciate your time. Quickly, how would you assess the footwork of one Uriah Faber? What would you say about his style? Again, does it cater to him? Explosive movement, trying to set up the takedown, mixing it up, blitzing in with the right hand?
Can you say that one more time? I kind of cut out.
Sure. I said, how would you assess the footwork of Uriah Faber? Would you say, again, it caters to his style, flat-footed till he explodes in for either the takedown or landing the big overhand right?
Faber has a stance where he sits super wide, and he sits super wide for maximum power. He likes to fake the left hook and the left six to the body in order to land his big overhand right. His overhand right is his biggest, most threatening weapon, and it will always be that because he has a natural timing on it also. So while he does have power to knock people out, he also has the timing on the right hand that a lot of people don't have, similar to Johnny Hendricks, but his is a left hand. So the footwork for him wasn't really that big of a deal, I don't think. But then, honestly, the best footwork I ever saw from him was when he fought me. I think that's when I looked like he trained it more than ever, because he knew he was going to be having to move with me. And I think that when he fought me that second time, that was the best footwork I've seen from him. And he really didn't use it against anybody else except for myself, which baffles me. I thought that was something that he could have really used against Barao to mix in with his takedowns, but it didn't happen. Faber's got better footwork than he uses, in my opinion.
So outside of yourself, who has the best footwork in the Ultimate Fighting Championship?
Demetrius Johnson.
All right, tell me why.
Because he knows how to switch stance, and he understands angles. He understands where you're not taking damage. He understands where you need to be to not take damage, not to mention his feet. He is literally the only person I've ever fought that I said, that I literally said, man, he's fast. He's really, really fast. And he wasn't just fast with his hands and his head. He was fast with his feet, which is nothing that I had ran into yet. I never fought. And that's one of the things that I loved about that fight with DJ was it really challenged me to come up with an adjustment. His feet and his movement from his feet actually were a little bit faster than mine. But the edge that I had on him was my size. And I could also move my feet, but I had that extra wrestling aspect of it to bring to the table also.